Jeremiah chapter number 17, if you would, and we'll read a few verses over there, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Jeremiah chapter number 17, and I preached this week. I did the call to worship on the morning, 10:10 on WATA, and I talked about pastor appreciation. And, you know, if I didn't feel like the church appreciated me as a pastor, it'd be real hard to go and preach and talk about that on the radio, but I don't feel that way. I know y'all, I know it's a mutual thing. I love the church, and I believe the church loves me. If you don't, well, just keep hiding it and don't tell nobody. And, you know, God's really blessed, and I appreciate that so much. And I thank the Lord for Mount Lebanon, and just I feel so at home, and just like I'm right where the Lord wants me to be. And so I'm thankful I could go and preach on that. And I know a lot of preachers don't feel that way in their churches, but I could go and preach on that on the radio all week long and not feel like that I was not appreciated as the pastor. So I wanted to say that this morning, but that's not what I'm dealing with today. I want to read in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 5 through 8, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for letting us be here today and all the blessings you've given to us. Lord, you've been with us through the many miles that we've traveled this week and preaching the Word of God, and I thank you for that. Lord, it's been a good week, and I praise your holy name for everything you've done. And dear Lord, we ask you to be with us here this morning. We have many objects of prayer here in the church. We have sick people. We have just people that have special needs. Lord, we just come asking you to just continue to work in our midst. Help us to be a people that would be characterized as trusting in you, Lord, and not trusting in the arm of flesh, not what man can do, but Lord, we're thankful today for what you've done and what you can do. God, I pray you'd help us to continue and to place and put our trust in you above all or anything else that's going on in the world. And I pray you'd help in the preaching of the Word of God today. I pray you'd speak to our hearts, bless our time, our fellowship together. I just pray that the Holy Ghost would just have sway in our hearts and our minds and our lives, and help us, Lord, as we take inventory today about where we've got our trust placed. Dear Father, I pray you'd have your way, and Lord, we'll thank you for all you do. We come asking these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, you may be familiar with these verses this morning. It's not like this is something new out of the Word of God, but I want to read just verse number 5 and verse number 7 one more time. You probably noticed the contrast there. It's talking about two different people. It said in verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Then in verse number 7 it says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." And we have two, what I say, contrasting individuals here in verse 5 and verse number 7. There's, we see there in verse 5 and verse number 7, both of them are trusting, but one of them is trusting in man, and the other one is trusting in the Lord. And the outcome of where they have placed their trust is just as different as night from day. What happens to them and the lives that they live and they lead. And I've read these verses many times in days gone by, but I've never really studied them out before. But yesterday I took a piece of paper and I put the cursed man on one side and the blessed man on the other side and set them down and begin to study them out. And what a great difference that there is between verses 5 and 6 and between verses 7 and 8. And what I want to try to preach on this morning, I want to try to preach on the subject of a contrast in trusting. A contrast in trusting. And as we look at these verses this morning, I want you to ask yourselves, who is it that I'm really trusting in? Am I trusting in man and in the arm of flesh? Or am I trusting in the Lord and He's the one in whom my hope is? Now, every one of us, I'm sure today, would stand up and say, well, I'm trusting in the Lord. You know, that'd just be automatic. Who are you trusting in? Well, I'm trusting in the Lord. But I don't have to stand and preach today and tell you who you're trusting in. As you read and we look at these verses this morning, why, it'll be just as plain as a difference between night and day and dark and light, black and white. That's what a contrast is. So that's what I will try to preach on for just a little while this morning. And I'm going to try to point out about five things. First of all, I want to say that there is a contrast in the label. There's a contrast in the label. Now, in verse number 5, it says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. That's the label that's put on the man that's trusting in man. And then on the other side, verse number 7, it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. So we're going to come under one heading or the other. We're going to be on one side, the side that says cursed, or we're going to be on the other side. We're going to be underneath the heading that says blessed. And so we've got that label over us this morning, that name over us this morning. Now the cursed man comes first, and the Bible says about him, cursed. Now that word cursed, I know what the word blessed means, but I got thinking about that. Do I really know what it means to be cursed? And I looked it up in the dictionary, and it means affliction, torment, a great vexation, condemnation, hateful, detestable, abominable. It means something that is devoted to destruction. All that is what it means to be cursed. And when I thought about cursed, I thought about the man in the Bible that we might think about that was cursed first of all, and that had been Cain. You remember over there in the book of Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 11. And the reason that Cain was cursed by the Lord, the Bible says in verse 11, and now thou art cursed from the earth. The reason that God put a curse upon Cain is because Cain trusted in Cain and not in the Lord. He brought, you remember over there, the offering of his own hands. He came before God and said, look at me, God. Look what I've done. Look what I can do. Look how great I am. Look how I can please you. Look at me. Look at my works. That's what Cain did. And God cursed him because he killed Abel, but not just because he killed Abel, but because he trusted in himself. And the Bible said, now thou art cursed from the earth. And you know what? If we were to go over there and study and read in Genesis chapter number 4, you'd find out that God told Cain, he said, Cain, your crops are not going to yield anything. And Cain, you're just going to be a vagabond and a vagrant in the earth. Just a man just got to travel around and live how you can and do the best you can. Nobody will ever accept you in. Cain said, Lord, if you do that to me, somebody will kill me. And the Bible said that God placed a mark upon Cain
so that nobody would kill him. And he'd have to bear his curse around everywhere that he went in the earth. And God put a mark on him. He was a marked man. And if you study over there in Genesis chapter 4, even when the Lord gave him a chance to confess and repent, and the Lord did give him a chance, but he didn't accept that offer from the Lord. Cain rejected that offer from God. And Cain, in effect, he said, "No, Lord, that's all right. I'll just go on. I'll just do the best I can." He never learned his lesson. "I'll just take my chances." And that's exactly what Cain did. And he went out from the Lord. And he went out a marked man from the Lord. And he never repented. And he said, "I'll just try my way a little bit longer." You know how that's how most people are. They're confronted that they need to get saved and get right with God. And that just about what people say, "Not now. Not now, maybe later. Not now." And they go out and they go out. "I'm going to try my own way a little. I'm going to try one more thing before I give it up to the Lord, before I get saved. I'm going to try my way." And that's how Cain was. Boy, what a picture we have here in the Word of God of a sin-sick, lost mankind that has a curse on him that he can't get off of him. I was reading a story to Chloe the other night and got to reading about, you know, Aesop's fables. I like to read them. They have a biblical example, most of them. And there's one over there about the crow and the swan. And the crow and the swan, when you read about the crow and the swan, the crow, he got to looking at the swan and thinking, "I wonder why he's so beautiful. And I wonder why his feathers are so white." And he got to thinking about that, and he said, "I know what it is." He said, "It's because that swan swims around in the water all day." And so he said, "I will be like the swan, and I'll go down and I'll live by the lake, and I'll swim in the water all day." And so the crow went down there, and he got him a nest by the water, and he you know, crows don't really swim. He just sort of flopped around all day in the water, half near drowned. Ended up soaking wet and cold all day and wet all day long, and he about caught his death of a cold. And he said, "Caw, caw." He said, "Who wants white feathers anyway? I'll just be satisfied with what I've got." And that's why a crow can't sing a pretty song. Amen. Bible said, "Be content such things you have." But anyway, you know what? That's like cursed man. Hey, you can't get the curse off by the arm of your flesh. You can't change your stripes. You can't forgive yourself. You can't save yourself. We're cursed. We're cursed as long as we're trusting in the arm of flesh. That's what the Bible says. That's the picture of the man here in verse number 5 that's making flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Oh, he tries to change and turn over a new leaf and get better and all that stuff, but he can't do it. He can't do it in and of himself. And so there's the cursed man. That's his label. But then on the other hand, there's that man in verse number 7. He's blessed. I like this. Verse number 7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." That word "blessed" over there, it just simply means, oh, how happy a blessed man is. You can be happy if you put your trust in the Lord, if you put your hope in the Lord. Today, I want to tell you something, it really won't matter who gets elected next month. You can be happy anyway. I don't know what's going to happen in this nation, but the morning after the election, I'm telling you this, I can just be happy because God's in control. My trust is in Him, not in the arm of flesh anyway. And I can get up on that morning, and I can get up tomorrow morning, and I can get up every morning and just say, "I'm blessed. I got shoes on my feet. There's food on the table. Oh, we've got hands and we've got eyes and we've got blessings all round about us. We don't have any excuse to go around all pooch mouth because we're blessed by God today. He's the one our hope's in. I told my wife this morning, I said, I'm going to say very little to do anything with election and all that stuff, but I didn't say I wasn't going to say anything. I said I was going to say very little, because if you're like I am, I'm about sick of that mess. I'm sick of hearing about it. I'm sick of hearing people talk about it. I'm sick of hearing all that arguing about it. I'm telling you, it'd help you this morning if you just remember you're blessed by God. And it doesn't matter who's the president. And it doesn't matter what happens out here in the economy or in the world or in the newspaper. God's people are blessed this morning. We got a lot to rejoice about. We've got a lot to be thankful about. We've got a lot to praise the Lord about. God's good and God's watching over His children. We ought to praise His name this morning, because the Lord's in control. If you're saved by the grace of God, you've got your trust in Him. He's your Father. Your Father's going to take care of you. Your Father's going to make sure you got your needs met. That's what your Father's going to do for you this morning. The Lord, He'll make you rich, and you won't have a lot of trouble with it. You know, the book of Proverbs talking about that great treasure and trouble therewith, but the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And He addeth no sorrow with it. Praise God, I'm rich today. And it's tax-free. You can't, there's nowhere to even put it down on the income form, because there's just some blessings. You can't count them in dollar bills and stuff like that. I'm rich. I'm rich and you're rich if you're saved this morning. If you're saved, you've got a home in heaven. The Lord's coming one of these days. Preacher Derek preached last night at the youth meeting. Boy, I got a blessing out of that. And he's talking about giving to the Lord and tithing and all those things. But he said that it's not the tithe that'll hurt you, but it's the interest if you don't tithe. But you know what? I got to think about the other way around. And he's talking about compound interest, and he's talking about it in a negative aspect, but I got to thinking about it in a positive aspect. Do you know what? If you tithe, then God adds the interest in heaven. And I'll bet you God's got a better rate than the bank does. I mean, once upon a time, you could actually make money by saving money, but I don't think you could do that now unless you just had so much money you didn't need to save any anyway. Compound interest. I got thinking about that. As far as I know, from a little boy, as far as I've known anything about anything, they taught us as children to tithe. And if you could go back to the time that you was a child, and you think about all that you've ever given to the Lord, you've seen it where thieves can't steal, where rust won't make it cause to break down. I'm telling you, I believe we'll get to heaven and be surprised at God's savings plan. He's got your investment portfolio if you put your trust in Him. It'll be worth it one of these days. There's the label that we have. We're either cursed or we're blessed. There's a contrast in the label. What a difference between the two. But second of all, this morning, there's a contrast in the likeness. Look at verse number 6, what the Bible says. He said, for he shall be like. That's what I'm saying. There's a likeness here. God said, the cursed man, for he shall be like the heath. It's what the Bible says. He shall be like the heath. Now, you study that heath out, you know what that is? That's just a scrubby little old bush. That isn't really worth nothing. That just barely grows and makes it in the desert. I got studying about the heath, and they said they would take the leaves or what comes off of the heath, and they said it was good for making brooms. It's sort of like our sage brush or something like that. It's good for making brooms. It's good for making bedding for poor people. That's what the dictionary says. He shall be like the heath. I thought about always being knocked around on the ground. I thought about sleeping poor all your life. They said it was good to start fires with. That's what the heath is like. He shall be like the heath. Just a scrubby little old good for nothing bush. But I like what it says in verse number 8 about the blessed man. It said, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. What a contrast. What a difference between those two things. He shall be as a tree planted. Now around here we don't think much about that. But when we lived out west in Idaho, and I've noticed not just there, when I've been out in Oklahoma and preached up where Brother Mark lives, it's the same way. You can travel for miles and miles and miles and not see much of nothing. And you'll know when you're getting ready to come up on where people live, you'll see that there's a stand of trees out there. When you see a stand of trees, you'll know that somebody's built their home there. And in the midst of all that vast nothingness, somebody thought enough to plant some trees to be a blessing and to be shade to them, and to be firewood, and all of those things that come with being trees. When we lived in Idaho, we had a corner, a piece of property, and a canal run behind it. And everything out there is laid out in miles. And behind us, and in front of us, and to both sides of us, you'd look out and there's just a few houses around, but most what you could see is just miles and miles of nothing. We had a great big old willow tree in our backyard. Our piece of property, they told us, was one of the oldest. I think it was where they had their first meeting house out there, the Mormons. It's where we live. And, of course, that wasn't our house. But anyway, that big old willow tree, a windstorm came through one time, broke one of the limbs out. And I was out there at the chainsaw. I was getting ready to clean it up and cut the limb off of it. And one of the neighbors stopped by and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to cut that." He said, "You're not going to cut that tree down, are you?" I said, "Oh, no." He said, that's a landmark in the community. He said, "Everybody loves that tree, big old right beside the canal, right beside where the water." He said, "Please don't cut that down. That's means something to us that have lived here all of our lives." And I thought about that tree. That tree, I'm telling you, I don't think two people could reach around it. It was huge. It was big. It had been by that water all them years. I don't read that scripture. I don't think about that. That old tree, that old landmark, it meant something to somebody. Nobody cared if you went out there. Them farmers, every fall and every spring, they'd get out there and they'd get a big old propane tank and they'd pull it behind a truck. I like how they done some things. They had a torch hooked up to that tank and they'd ride along out, hanging out the pickup, burning the brush, burning the weeds up. Nobody cared if you got out. Burn up all that junk. But them trees, that's something else. God said the wicked man, the cursed man, he's like that. He's like that heath. He's like that sagebrush. He's good for nothing but to burn up and to stay poor and to sweep the floor. But the blessed man's like a tree. There's a contrast in the likeness. Third of all, this morning, there's a contrast in the living. Look in verse number 6 again. He said, "For he shall be like the heath in the desert." In the desert. It's where that cursed man lives. Boy, that fellow trusting in the arm of flesh, trusting in man, whose heart's departed from the Lord. He lives in a harsh environment. He lives out there in the desert. You ever studied anything about the desert? Where we lived out there was in the desert. It's called, in America, it's called the High Plains, the High Desert. We lived out there in the desert. You know something about the desert? You'll burn up in the daytime and you'll freeze to death at night. I'm telling you, the man that doesn't trust in God, that's made the arm of man, that's what he trusts in. His heart is departed from the Lord. He lives in a harsh environment. All his neighbors aren't worth nothing. Coyotes, rattlesnakes, scorpions, yellow jackets. I mean, there really isn't much worth anything out in the desert. And that's who all of his neighbors are. There's no water out there. There's no vegetation out there. It's just sucking up dust and sand. I'm telling you, the most dusty place I've ever lived in my life. You get outside of where they have irrigation and you'll choke to death. You're just wasting your time to wash a vehicle. It's just a desert. It's just a very harsh environment that the cursed man lives in. That's what the Word of God says. In verse number 6, the Bible said, he shall be like the heath in the desert. He'll not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit, that's where you live, the parched places in the wilderness. Wilderness in the Bible's the desert. Like where Moses and the children of Israel were in the wilderness. And then it said, in a salt land, nothing grows in a salt land, and not inhabited, not even any good neighbors there. But you look down in verse number 8, where the blessed man dwells, where he has his living at. In verse number 8 it said, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit, is what the Bible says. I remember when I was in the Air Force, and they sent me to the country of England. And boy, I'm telling you, as an 18-year-old young man, I thought, boy, this is a desert. There's nothing good about this. And at first I didn't like it very much at all. One thing I didn't like about it is nobody else liked it. Everybody hated England. All the people I worked with, all they talked about is how long until they got to go home. I have 18 months. I have 12 months. I have 4 months. I'll tell you, once they got down to 6 months, they wasn't worth shooting. They said, well, I'm a short timer. I'm going home. I don't have to do anything. It was awful. Everybody griped about that they only had 2 television channels 20-some years ago. Nobody had cell phones. Nobody could afford to have a phone in their house. It was different than living here. There wasn't no Walmart. There wasn't no malls. People hated it. If you live around people, if you work around people, that all they do is gripe and fuss and complain, it rubs off on you. You know how that is. You can work with people and you love work. And your people you work with can change, and all of a sudden you'll hate work. Has a lot to do with who you're working around. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, what an awful place. What an awful place. That's all I'd heard at work, about how bad it was, and everybody wanted to go home. But you know what? I found out there was a river there. Somebody invited me to church. I found out there was a river in that desert, and God planted us in a church. Boy, the preacher preached the Word of God to us, and we got our soul fed, and we had family, and we had friends, and we learned while everybody else was cussing it and hating it. We said, I don't think it's too bad. I like being here. I love my church. I love my friends. I love my pastor. I love the preaching of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, that's where my wife got saved. Praise God. It's where the Lord called me to preach. There's a river there. There's a place to be blessed in the middle of that desert. There's a place there that no matter that everybody else hated it, we could prosper. We didn't hate it. We got to where we loved life. We loved them people. We cried when we left. You know, it amazes me. People go around all the time. I hate my job. I hate this. I hate school. I hate what I'm doing. I hate where I live. I hate this. I hate that. You know who you're trusting in? You're trusting in man. You're expecting that some man, some circumstance, some situation can make you happy. But I'm telling you, if you don't have your trust in the Lord, paradise wouldn't make you happy. You couldn't be satisfied with it. You better learn to be satisfied from the Lord. He's got a river. He's got nutrition. He's got food that the world doesn't know nothing about. See, that tree got its strength from its roots. Not from the world it was surrounded by. But it went deep down where God had reserved something for it. There's a key to learning how to live happy. And it's not moving from here to there. It's not in moving this and changing that. It's in the Lord, our trust in the Lord. We all go through times like that. There's a contrast in living. There's contrast in looking. Look in verse number 6. They're looking at something here. Verse number 6, the Bible said, "For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh." That's how the cursed man is. He doesn't even see when good comes. And good does happen to those not trusting in the Lord. I'm telling you this morning, God is good to all of us. But you know what? To be cursed, to have you trust in the flesh and in the arm of the flesh. See, the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 5 that God causes the sun to shine and the rain to come on the just and on the unjust. But you know what? When an unrighteous man, when something good happens and we need some sunshine, you know what he says? He says, "Too hot." When there's been a drought and we need some rain, he said, "It's not enough." He doesn't say, "Praise God for the rain." He doesn't say, a cursed man, when good comes, he doesn't even see when good comes. You've seen people like that. They can't see good in nothing. If they went to heaven, they'd be dissatisfied. They wouldn't like it. If Jesus came and preached, if Paul came and preached, it'd be too long. It'd be too hard to understand. Nothing. They don't understand. They don't see no good in nothing. Good comes to everybody. God's good. God's merciful. Bible said in the book of Romans that it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. God is good to people. God is merciful to us this morning. But the unrighteous man, he just cannot see that whatsoever. When good comes, he can't see it. If you look in verse number 8, there are two times it says this phrase, "and shall not." I want to point those out, "and shall not." In verse number 2, verse number 8, he said, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh." This is the blessed man. "But her leaf shall be green and shall not," there it is again, "be careful in the year of drought." Do you know what it's talking about? It's talking about when the judgment of God comes. Heat and drought in the Bible speaks of the judgment of God. And if you look in verses 1 through 4, that's the context of the scripture. It's talking about the unalterable judgment of God is going to come upon the nation. He said in verse 1, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, and with the point of a diamond it is graven upon the table of their heart, and upon the horns of your altars." God said, judgment is coming, and there's nothing going to change that fact because of the shape the nation got in. Look in verse 3. He said, "Oh, my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders." God said, everything that's precious to you, I'm going to give to your enemies. All your substance, all your spoil. Look what he said in verse 4. "And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee." God said, I'm going to take your heritage away because you didn't appreciate it. Could there be a message for America right there in verse number 4? All the good blessings of God upon the United States of America, people don't appreciate it. God said, I'm going to discontinue you from your heritage. I'm going to take it away. But you know what? Righteous person. You know what? Saved person. You know what? Blessed person. God said, I'm going to bless you anyway. I'm going to bless you in spite of all that. God said, I'm going to bless you anyway. Praise God. I'm going to bless you in spite of it all. In spite of certain judgment coming upon your nation, God said, he said, I like what it said in verse 8. He said, "But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought." You know that careful in the Bible, what that's talking about? Where it says in Philippians 4 and 6 and 7, it says, be careful for nothing. Let your requests be made unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That means don't be worried about nothing. Don't be anxious about nothing. Don't be fretting about nothing. Just put your trust in God. You don't have to be worried in the year of drought. What's going to happen? I don't know. When we wake up in the morning, God's still going to be on His throne. God's still going to be good. God blesses His children no matter what the circumstances is. I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to have to be careful in the year of drought. I don't have to be worried about the judgment of God. Hey, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to put a shout in your heart. I'm not looking for the tribulation. I'm looking for the rapture. It's setting up for the tribulation, but good news! Praise God. We're going to get out of here before the tribulation comes. It might get rough. It might get a little bumpy, but God's still on the throne. Buddy, I'll tell you, if I had my hope in Obama, hoax and chains, if I had my hope in Romney this morning, I'd go down to Costco or Sam's and I'd get me the biggest case of Rolaids and antacid that they had and I'd stockpile on it because I'm telling you, you'll be able to trade it down the road for a lot of money. Oh, people's worried about their money. Oh, they're worried about their jobs and their income. And I'm worried about everything. You could say, hey, I got one of them bottles of 500 Rolaids antacid. I'll trade you for something. If I was trusting in that mess, I'm not trusting in that. Boy, I'm trusting in the Lord this morning. I feel pretty good. God's good. My hope's in the Lord. I'm His. He's coming soon with the voice of a trumpet. An archangel is going to call His children out of this mess. We ought to praise Him. We ought to thank Him for it. There's a contrast in the looking. They're looking for one thing, and they can't see the good when it comes. And if you're one of God's children, you can see the blessings even when the worst thing happens to the child of God. They can go through it and look back and say, you know what, that's one of the best things. Preacher Derek was preaching last night, and he pointed out, Chloe had gotten up there and sang. And he reminded her, he said something while he was preaching about her singing, and he said, I remember years ago I went to your house. He's talking to me. And he's talking about when Hannah died. And Preacher Derek come to my house and we got down in the floor and he prayed with me there. And I'm telling you, that's a hard time in our life to go through the death of our daughter. But Preacher Derek said, look at what you got. Look at what you got. I lost a daughter, but again, too. God gave us Abigail and God gave us Chloe. We gained. You know, we've talked about it a lot of times. If something hadn't happened to Hannah, we may not have had any more children. Instead of having two children, but now I've got six children. I've got three in heaven and I've got three on earth. And I'm a winner either way. Because Kim had two miscarriages and Hannah passed away, praise God. I'd just about soon go as to stay. Hey man, we've got something. Praise God. Woo-hoo! To look forward to as the children of God. I tell you, one of these days, if things just gets bad enough, we might get to where we appreciate what the God of glory's done for us. And get some shout down in our soul. And praising Him for what He's done. God's good. I got a good outlook. I don't have to be careful in the year of drought. Let it come. Let it come. God's in control. He'll not forget His children. Praise His holy name. I'm going to close. One more thing I'm going to point out. Not a contrast, but one thing that we all have in common. I want to show you this. I'd never seen this before till yesterday. If you read in verse number 9, there's something that we all have in common. We don't want to admit it, but look at verse number 9. It said, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? We are common in our longings. See, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's everybody. My heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And here's how we are. We might be under the category of the blessed. We might know that we're blessed of God, but our heart will lead us wrong. We'll get back over here if we're not careful. Under the man that's trusting in the arm of the flesh. Here's how. You know, human nature is one of the most intriguing things to study in the world. And if you want to know about human nature, you don't have to go to the college and take a psychology class. Just read the book of Proverbs. That'll tell you everything you need to know about human nature. Human nature is a funny thing. We went up to the Amish country, and we was oohing and aahing and talking about it and everything, and I got the telling them, I said, but I'll guarantee you, as we drove by them Amish people in their little buggies, I guarantee you, some of them saying, well, I wish I wasn't having to ride behind this old stinky horse. I wish I could be out there like him, running up down the roads, vacating. Yeah, there's a show on TV called Breaking Amish. You seen that? Don't tell me some of them don't get, and that's what they do. I wish I could be like the English. And people go up there to the Amish country and they ride around, pooch their lips out. Why can't we live like that? We're running up down the road and all their life so, and that's so uncomplicated and simple, and that's how people are. They're not satisfied with nothing. Girls can have the prettiest, longest, curly, beautiful hair you've ever seen. And everybody will say, oh, I love your hair. And that girl will say, I hate it. I wish it's straight. And girls that have straight hair, they'll say, oh, your hair's so pretty. Well, I don't like it. I wish it's curly. Girls have black hair, want blonde hair. And people have blonde hair, want black hair. And if they've got brown hair, they want red hair. They've got red hair, they want, hey, God's blessed me, I'm neutral. Amen. I could go and have my hair any color I wanted to, I guarantee, but I'll just keep it like it is. That's how people are. Tall people want to be short. Short people want to be tall. Here's one, homeschoolers want to go to public school. Poor old me. Roll out of the bed about any time I want to. Do my schoolwork in my pajamas. Be done by 12 o'clock if I'd apply myself. And children go to public school. I've heard it over and over again. I wish I could be homeschooled. People aren't satisfied. Why aren't people satisfied? Because their heart is desperately wicked. Their heart is deceitful. They've got their heart placed in the things of this world and not in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly how people are. Your heart will lead you wrong. I hear people give other people advice and they'll say, just follow your heart. You know, that's some of the worst advice you could give anybody. Just follow your heart. Do you know where your heart will lead you? Do you know what a mess your heart will get you in? Do you know how far away from God your heart, if you really follow your heart, the longings of your heart, you get out here like the prodigal son, sucking down husk in a pig pen, hating life, ruined, lost everything you had. Don't ever follow your heart. It's desperately wicked. It's evil. Follow God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You say, oh, there's something I really want to do. You'd better check it with Scripture. Somebody asked me the other day to talk to their son. He was interested in going into the military. And the gentleman said, now, what do you think? Son, daddy. Daddy asked me. Daddy says, what do you think? I'm not for it. What a fool I would be to say, well, I think it'd be a good thing. You know, the advice I give to any of you young people, just get the mind of God. You just find out what God wants you to do. You don't listen to what some recruiter or some counselor says. You find out what God wants you to do. And then you can pursue it with all your heart. And it'll end up good. And you'll get to be old and gray-headed like me. And you'll say, it's been worth every mile, praise God. I'm glad I went down the road I went down. Because that's the road God wants me to go down. Praise the Lord. I feel happy in the Lord this morning. Are you hungry yet? You must not be. You hadn't cut me off, but I'm done. I'm done this morning. You need to follow God. Do what God wants you to do. And you'll be blessed. And you'll be like that tree. And you'll be happy and fruitful and green. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what happens. You can be blessed. Oh, how happy. Let's have a